Chapter 21. Did you not feel it? Il Citato was so full, it seemed as if the walls might bow out and collapse. The ice wine and beer flowed, the conversations collapsed repeatedly, as another Biancorso soldier was announced, the murmuring din exploding into a singular roar of approval. And none louder than when Azudonna was hoisted up onto a table to stand victorious above the gathering. Artemis and Treri chuckled when he saw her, but said nothing. Caddy Bree and Jarlaxle didn't have to ask why, for they too offered little sounds, half in sympathy, half in amazement. "She got herself a nose like Brunner," and Treri said a moment later. "My das is longer, but only just as wide," Caddy Bree replied. Indeed, Azudonna's nose had taken the worst of her slide into the wall. It was obviously broken, with a little wad of cloth stuck up each nostril, ones they were likely changing often as they soaked through with blood. The rest of the woman's face was puffy as well, one eye blackened and nearly closed from the swelling, and her neck, her blue-white shift, her hair even, were sticky with drying blood. Mostly her blood. She didn't seem to care up there on the table. She held her arms out wide, then dipped low and turned her right shoulder back, arm extended to mimic her victorious throw. The roaring resumed, full-throated. "Guard Real!" came a cry from outside, from the main avenue of Shelabel, and many more voices echoed the arrival of the army from Mona Chess. The gathering squeezed for the door, pushing out onto the lane, the three companions following. There seemed little reason to be inside, they thought when they came out, and realized, too, that the inn of Il Citato had merely been a staging area to collect the soldiers of Biancorso. Now they were out again under the merry dancers of the magical sky, and all the borough was out about them. True to the calls, coming down the lane from Mona Chess, marched the soldiers of Guard Real, and what seemed like the whole of that borough flowing behind them. So the party expanded, and then again and again, as the other two boroughs joined in. It became a long celebration of Caladay and of Catscalchi, of the victors and of the vanquished, of the viewers and the merry dancers, of the food and wine and beer, of life itself. Even Artemis and Treri could not help but get caught up in the dance of Quisticanze. Caddy Bree took note of the man singing at one point, and when he realized she was watching him, he answered her grin with one of his own, rushed out from the line of singers, grabbed her by the hand, and dragged her back to join in the song. She didn't resist. She did note, however, that across from her, on the other side of Entreri, and with his large arm draped across Entreri's shoulders, was, amazingly, an orc, and one wearing the uniform of a Boscale soldier. Artemis Entreri was allowing an orc to drape his arm across his shoulders. A moment of near panic came over Caddy Bree, a reminder of the surreality all about them, a warning to hold her guard. But no, she remembered this particular orc, and it all became more confusing still, or perhaps, she told herself, it was less confusing. Perhaps it was just as it seemed. When the song was over, the line began to disperse into the throngs all about, and the orc slapped Entreri hard on the shoulder and started away. Entreri caught him by the arm. "Wait, one thing," Entreri begged. The orc looked at him curiously. "At the end, after Azudonna's score, weren't you the one who got the god and started the other way with it?" "I am," said the orc. "I am warrior Lernik of Boscale." "Why then?" Entreri asked. "Time was not out."
"Yes, why did you stop?" Caddy Bree added.
The orc looked at them both with obvious puzzlement.
"But te mie zacnifane," he then roared, lifting a fist.
The crowd around him responded in kind, the words reverberating down the street.
"But you don't know Zagnafane," Entreri pressed. "Warrior Azudonna championed him," the orc said, tapping his wrist where Azudonna had been wearing the torn strip of Zack's shirt. "She is honorable and fierce. Would you have me dishonor her?"
"Of course not," Caddy Bree answered. "Forgive us. We are new here and do not know your customs."
"Besides," the orc added with a grin, "did you not feel it? I have fought in Catscalchi 5 times, 3 sunsets ago. Guard Real became champions. But even on that great night, I felt nothing to match the song for Azudana Zagnefane. Did you not feel it?
It was among the most incredible things I have ever felt, Entreri confirmed as Caddybri nodded her agreement.
The magic, she said quietly.
Yes, it will be remembered long after I am gone, Lernik said. And he saluted, repeated, Per te mie Zagnefane, and melted into the throng.
Caddybri sighed, digesting it all, and watched him go, then turned to Entreri.
He's not wrong, the man said. I've never felt anything quite like the sheer power of that chant in that magical sunset.
I want to feel it again, Caddybri agreed.
Entreri lifted his eyes and one hand upward.
It's still there.
It'll be 6 months before the sunrise, you understand.
He looked at her skeptically, but she nodded, certain.
Then I guess I shouldn't feast for the entire night, Treri said, and he too walked off into the throng.
Or at least, not drink the night through, she called after him. The woman looked around for Jarl Axel, but it was impossible. So many faces, so much dancing and singing and feasting and drinking and cheering. The city was alive now, as much as anything she had ever known, and it proved truly infectious. She wandered about, not even bothering to ask where Jarl Axel might be. It didn't matter. She was safe here, they all were. She wished that Zack could be out here enjoying this, but Galathe had told her in no uncertain terms that it wouldn't be wise. He was still sick and had to fight through the phage for a few more days. That moment at Kazkalchi had brought him great strength and comfort and relief, and had indeed pushed back the onslaught of the phage. But that moment was gone. They all knew it, and everyone in Shelebel understood that the one moment of Azudana's victory, of the full-throated voice of Kaladay demanding relief from the merry dancers, could not be replicated. A short while later, back in the inn, along with Vessi and many other Biancorso soldiers, Caddybri heard inquiries about Azudana, who had apparently slipped out. She has gone to rest, one woman insisted, to which a dwarf complained.
She will have the whole of night to rest. She must sing and tell us again of her throw.
Caddybri knew that Azudana wasn't resting. She took her leave of Ibelsa Tato and made her way along the avenues of Shelebel, casually drifting toward the cold infirmary where the Avendrau had put Zack. She wasn't surprised when she entered to find Azudana sitting across a small candlelit table from her father-in-law, plates and glasses set before them.
Persimmons? She said with a grin when she neared.
Both turned to her with a start, and Caddybri nearly laughed aloud at how ridiculous they appeared, as if they had gone through a war and had dragged their battered bodies off to the side for a moment of respite.
This cheese, said Zack.
He looked better, more like himself, and the swelling had mostly subsided. And he sounded better, stronger. His mouth was almost its normal size again.
You call yourself his friend, and you did not share this with him?
Azudana said to her, shaking her head with an expression of feigned dismay. Come, sit, the drow woman bade her, pulling up a chair. I brought more than enough. Caddybri took a seat, and Azudana pushed a plate of persimmons and curd cheese and a glass of ice wine before her. To life, Azudana said, lifting her glass, and Caddybri and Zack did likewise, the three tapping together with a marvelous chime.
I'm going to live long enough for you to cure me of this affliction, daughter, Zack said. Are you up to the task?
Our hosts have many who are.
That's not what I asked.
I am, Caddybri assured him. When my spells return, you will feel the full warmth of them. Soon, Azudana promised.
What of you? Caddybri asked. That must hurt. She reached gently for the woman's broken nose.
What? You don't think I'm pretty anymore?
The woman said, leaning away from her reach and striking a playful pose.
I think you're quite beautiful, Caddybri told her.
I think everything up here is quite beautiful. Azudana smiled and tipped her glass.
Should I leave you two alone?
Caddybri asked a few moments later, after she had eaten the two persimmons and the cheese and finished her wine.
Please stay, Azudana answered, before Zack could. We will have plenty of time to be alone later, she added with a wink at Zack. When kissing you doesn't hurt so much.
nor leave me in fear that your slad mouth will swallow my head. The laughter was cut short as the door to the small room opened, and they turned to see Galathea enter, carrying a small pack. I hope that is more food, Azudanna said.
It is.
Then sit, join us, said Zack, motioning to a chair across the way. But the paladin shook her head. No, I actually came to find you, she answered, indicating Caddy Bree. I wish to speak with you.
Now, Azudanna protested. It is Quista Kanze. Biancorso are the victors.
It will not take long, Galathea replied, and motioned for Caddy Bree to follow. Curious, the priestess did. The paladin led her to a second chamber cut into the glacial wall, one very similar to Zack's infirmary. This seems serious, Caddy Bree said, when Galathea shut the door behind them and pulled out a chair for Caddy Bree. The Avendrow woman nodded. Nothing you didn't expect, I am sure.
I honestly didn't expect anything serious now.
Yes, but the magic will begin returning soon. For some, perhaps when we next awaken. My business with you must be concluded before that time.
Caddy Bree held out her hands, inviting her to continue.
You were brought to this land because of your magic, so you told us, Galathea said. You are priestess and wizard, correct?
Priestess mostly, but yes.
And you are asked to come because of your magic, Galathea asked again.
The others have their tricks and magical items, Caddy Bree told her.
But you have it correct. I am here because I can, or could, heal them if we found battle.
You came through a magical gate.
You don't even really know where you are or how to get home.
That is true. So you are here to take them home when your business is done. A word of recall or dreamer of teleportation, perhaps?
Recall, Caddy Bree confirmed.
I am not powerful enough in the arcane axe to teleport in that manner. But you are the one assigned that task, and without you the others would have to try to walk their way out of here.
Caddy Bree nodded.
You are aware of the obligation of Gias? Galathea asked. The question caught Caddy Bree off guard. She had heard of Gias, a magical spell placed to restrict or impose some conditions upon another person.
A bit, she replied warily.
We cannot have you leave until our magic is fully returned. When Twilight Autumn is at its end, we must go and finish what you and your friends started in that cave on the first day of your arrival. We cannot allow the Sladi and the giant such a hatchery.
We'll lead you there, of course, Caddy Bree said with full confidence.
Return to us our weapons and gear and we'll gladly fight beside you. Galathea nodded.
We will accept at least the first offer. But still, we cannot have you leave until...
Well, you will see, it is hard to explain. We still want to find Dumweel.
You should forget her. She is lost to this world forevermore.
We have to know if that is true. We came here because she offers great hope to the drow among us. It is a long and complicated tale.
We will point you in the direction where your friend was lost, then, Galathea told her. But most of all, we will point you away from Caladay.
Her somber tone, as much as the words, began to clue Caddy Bree in here.
I will ask you to accept a yes from me, Galathea explained.
Want to prevent you from your magical recall home, or from sending messages to the Southland until the temporal convocation of Caladay have agreed that you may leave. The obligation of the Gias will be removed. If you then still wish to depart Caladay, I promise.
Caddy Bree's thoughts swirled in a thousand different directions. She was sure that at that point they would use new and different magic on her and her friends before they were sent on their way. She thought of Freewindle and his dreams. She knew of spells that could make a person forget something, and others, more powerful, that could even modify a person's memory. The Harples used those quite frequently at the Ivy Mansion, when one of their more eccentric wizards was stubbornly researching and experimenting along what was surely a disastrous road. Never had she heard about any spells powerful enough to do what she was now fearing, though, in terms of the memories she and her friends had of Caladay. But then, never had she witnessed spells to create food as intricate and tasty as she had seen here. It made sense to her that the Avendrow would perfect such spells if they didn't want to imprison or execute people who stumbled upon Caladay. Still, the thought depressed her completely. She didn't want to abandon this place forever. The very idea that she might not be able to bring Drizzt or Bree here broke her heart. She hoped her suspicion would prove wrong, but in any case, she certainly understood the reasoning. So when you say that you cannot have us leave until your magic returns, it is not only because of the fight you will wage against those in the cave. That is part of it, Galathea said. The Slatai are much more formidable when their claws inject their eggs or the Chaos Phage, and our healers cannot easily counter it. We could draw you a map to the cave, but that would not suffice, would it? Caddy Bree asked, trying not to sound too accusatory here. Yes, that would suffice. But we still could not leave, not until your magic fully returns. No, Galathea admitted. We would not be the first to have come to Caladay and left. And you have magic to make sure that we are not the first to leave with the ability to come back. The paladin didn't reply. She didn't have to. What would you have us do? Galathea asked at length. What would you do? Caddy Bree rubbed her face. She saw their dilemma and truly sympathized, but that didn't make it hurt any less. When do you wish to enact this Gias? She asked. As soon as my powers return. I will need your word that if your own powers return before that time, you will not recall to your homeland, nor magically send any messages beyond Caladay. Caddy Bree considered it for just a brief moment. I agree. I will not prepare spells of that manner at all until I have your blessing. I believe you, Caddy Bree, Galathea said. And as we know the relative power of the spells involved, it is likely that my guess will precede your ability to recall. Still, until it is done, we will not allow the four of you to be together at the same time. If you somehow manage to leave us, you will leave one of your friends behind. Caddy Bree sucked in her breath and tried to remind herself how much the Avendrow had at stake here. If someone finds a key to your safe, you change the lock, Galathea said. And the key to Caladay is? Galathea just stared. The memory of Caladay, Caddy Bree finished for her. She stood and went to the door. And I am glad. We are all glad that your friend has found his strength. Perte Mie Zacnaphane was real and true. The Chaos Phage will not take him. She stepped out of the room, then turned back suddenly with a smile. But Azudana might. Caddy Bree remained alone in that room for a long while, mulling it all over. For the simple joy and elation here, this was becoming very complicated emotionally. She would be true to her word, and would allow the Gias to be placed upon her. She and her friends owed the Avendrow that and more, clearly. But she desperately hoped that she was wrong in the rest of it. She didn't want her memories of Caladay turned into dreams, just out of reach or erased altogether. She hoped she was wrong, or, if not, that she, or maybe the ever-persuasive Jarlaxle, could affect a different course.